Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome again to the Goodreads program with myself, Zunaida Musa Wadiwala, on Radio Islam International. For those following, we are currently talking traveling through books. And on our journeys thus far, we have discovered books discussing Muslim sites and places of interest in Spain, Egypt, Tunisia, Morocco, and Algeria. Now, Turkey has been a hot travel destination recently, and today I discuss the second book covering traveling in Turkey, more particularly for today, the Islamic sites in Istanbul. If you have missed any of my programs, previous programs, you can listen to the podcasts provided on the Radio Islam International website. And as usual, on the Zoomspiration slot, a snippet of information from the book 50 Candles to Light Your Path by Dr. Abdul Karim Bakr. And for today, we cover respecting other people. So getting straight into our book, the title for today, The Usmani Khilafah, A Guidebook for Islamic Sites in Istanbul and a Short History. The author is Maulana Afzal Ismail. The book was published in January 2018 by Muslims at Work Publications, which incidentally is in the same excellent standard and quality I have become accustomed to from them. So as with the last book I discussed, this book will benefit you before you set out for your travels. Turkey, as you know, has a great history, and you would be doing yourself a massive injustice if you don't familiarize yourself with it. And this is the book to help you do just that. Now, the author uses the term Osmani Khilafah throughout the book instead of Ottoman Empire, because as he points out, there is a vast difference between an Islamic Khilafah and a Western Empire. In the preface, the author talks about the Usmani Khilafah as a golden chapter in the history of Islam. He says, and I quote, "During its 600 years of rule, its sphere of influence covered three continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa. The Usmani Khilafah not only created a balanced Islamic culture in Istanbul and Anatolia, but made invaluable contributions to the Muslim world as a whole. It consolidated the Islamic lands, linking the major Islamic cities of Mecca, Medina, Baghdad, Damascus, Cairo, and Istanbul." This book consists of five major chapters and has a page count of 144. It includes color photographs and maps, but I will tell you a little bit more about these further on in this program, inshallah. So the first part of the book is called Istanbul, and it gives some pertinent information. Istanbul is the largest city in Turkey. Situated on the shores of the Bosphorus, it is the only city in the world to be situated in two continents, Europe and Asia. It is strategically placed, linking the Black Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. A visitor to the city of Istanbul has much to see and many lessons to learn. As Istanbul, or Constantinople, which is the previous name of Istanbul, served as the capital city of the Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, the Latin Empire, and the Usmani Khilafah, a visitor to the city will also come across relics and buildings from civilizations besides the Usmani Khilafah. This book, however, focuses on the Islamic sites. So the Islamic sites to visit are then enumerated together with relevant information and pictures. The journey commences with a visit to the Masjid of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Its location and history are also discussed in much detail. And what I found very valuable was the additional snippets of information provided. For example, the author mentions, the Usmani Khilafah was guided by the Islamic principles of thriftiness and prudence in financial matters. As a result, the Usmanis built masajid, madrasas, schools, hospitals, Sufi lodges, public baths, fountains, libraries, and guest inns for public benefit. They did not squander their resources constructing statues and arcs of triumph to commemorate their victories like the empires of the West. The Sultan Ahmed Masjid, commonly known as the Blue Mosque, is next on the itinerary. Construction and architectural history is provided, and honestly, that is a whole topic of discussion on its own. But the Topkapi place comes next, and of course, this has a very lengthy discussion following, amongst others, the history, the important relics of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhuma ajma'ina, all discussed in detail. Following this comes the discussion and tips on the Hagia Sophia, Fatih Namazgah, the Jalata Tower, the Sulaymaniyah Masjid, the Fatih Masjid, the Yavuz Salim Masjid, the Bosphorus, the Rumeli Fort, Bazaars, graves of the Sahaba, graves of Ulama, the Bayezid Masjid, the Hijaz Railway, the German Fountain. All of these important sites are then discussed. And each topic is beautifully illustrated. Color photographs are provided, which just enhances the experience of this book. Now, before discussing the next chapter, I would briefly like to tell you a little bit about the Hijaz Railway. This is a topic close to my heart because I've undertaken extensive research on it and even provided submitted a paper to the Yildiz University. So the Hijaz Railway was the project of Sultan Abdulhamid II, and it was built to link the cities of Istanbul, Damascus, Mecca and Medina and the Red Sea. With a station built every 20 kilometers along the 1,320-kilometer Damascus-Medina route, it was built to make the journey to the blessed lands of Mecca and Medina easier for pilgrims. What touched me, actually, was the immense love that went into this construction. Donations poured in from Muslims around the world. The construction workers worked tirelessly and completed the railway in a relatively short time span of 8 years. But with such meticulous care and love, they would cover their tools so as to minimize noise levels and to ensure that the rest, or ruhaniyat, as the Turkish people say it, of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not disturbed. The next chapter of this book then is an important history lesson, and is titled The Liberation of Constantinople. And by putting Constantinople in context, the author explains what made it so difficult to liberate, the different attempts at liberation, and an extremely lengthy discussion and explanation on the liberator, Muhammad al-Fatih. The next few chapters are then devoted to the liberation and development of the city, which then ties into the next chapter titled The Glorious Uthmani Khilafah. For those listeners who have been asking me to recommend books on the Uthmani Khilafah, I would say that this is a book that will definitely be an asset to your library and provide you the information that you require, inshallah. Topics like waqf, social institutions, akhiya or the brotherhood, legal and financial systems, Sufism and ulama, influence on Europe, contribution to South Africa, link with the ulama of India, all discussed. And a small chapter titled Art and Craft under the Uthmani Khilafah is also provided. And of course, I make specific mention of it here because calligraphy, woodwork, glass art, etc. all thrived under the Uthmanis. There are pictures provided which are truly worth seeing. This then leads directly into the next chapter called Uthmani Art and Craft. Because a visitor to Turkey is bound to be overwhelmed by the extent and the beauty of the decorative art and craft developed by the Uthmanis. The author says, contrary to Western art, which glorifies sculptures and paintings, Islam's prohibition of depicting animate images led the artistic genius of the Muslims to take the form of exquisite calligraphy, geometric patterns, and floral designs. Now, we know that the old Turkish language followed the Arabic letters and the Islamic system. And Quranic Arabic was used as a medium of instruction in their educational institutes. What follows then are two amazing chapters. The first is called Calligraphy, where the art of calligraphy is actually defined, the history of it is explained, especially how the various branches of the art of calligraphy flourished. And yes, that's an appropriate pun, particularly in the city of Istanbul. there is an illustration of a tura. And for those not in the know, a tura is a type of signature designed in elaborate calligraphy which each sultan had. Then there is also in this book a copy of a hilya provided. And a hilya is similar to a book I reviewed in Ramadan last year called Shamail Etimiri. In essence, it provides the physical and moral attributes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in an ornate and beautiful calligraphic design. Hilyas take on a specific form and they are narrated by specific sahaba. Traditionally, only master calligraphies, after having received ijaza, were allowed to scribe the hilya. Libraries developed during the Uthmani Khilafah are discussed next. And one of the interesting chapters which is actually called the upkeep of Mecca, Medina, and Masjid al-Aqsa. The next chapter is particularly interesting as it addresses common misconceptions and even lies which have crept up over time. The last chapter which concludes then is the information on the reasons for the decline of the Uthmani Khilafah, Mustafa Kemal and his legacy, the revival, and of course modern day Turkey is also discussed. The book concludes with an extensive list of references which are invaluable for anyone interested in further reading or undertaking research. And this book is available in most Islamic bookstores in Johannesburg and Pretoria. Unfortunately, this brings me to the end of my program for today. But please join me on the next Goodreads program where I will, inshallah, be discussing traveling to Palestine. After all, there is quite a difference between being a tourist and being a traveler. Until then, ma'assalama fi amanillah.